All right, you're in the arms of Glenn.
Ben.
And Ben, because John isn't here. He freaking...
New John.
Yeah, so this is the new John. The new and improved John with this sweet-ass tank top from Worst Responders. So hot.
So hot right
so
now.
So hot these seasons.
Yeah. Woman size large, if you're wondering.
Woman size large. You want to get that pink, and you're roughly the same size as Ben, and you're a guy, and you want the pink one, woman size large is what you're after. Yeah, so there you go. There's your information on that. All right, thank you, patrons, for being a part of our show. Remember to check out all the extra things we have on your Patreon, which is, what, blogs, show reviews, the extra show. What else do we have on there?
That's it.
I think that's it for now. We kind of stopped doing the giveaways because nobody's really participating. So, you know, if you guys want the giveaways to come back, we're happy to bring them back. We were giving away a bunch of cool stuff. But, yeah, participate. Participate. We'll do them more. Oh, my gosh. All right. What else we got? Man, we're at the AR 500 Armor Studio. Thank you so much for them to them for letting us party at their house. And the Valkyrie. This week's Valkyrie is multicam instead of the multicam black. Now, was that white one you had? Was that also a Valkyrie?
Yeah.
So James is in a classy as fuck white multicam Valkyrie plate carrier.
We were going for that stormtrooper look.
Yes, yeah. For a stormtrooper look. And in the, what is that, the AR 500 Armor Instagram and I think Facebook too.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about their giveaway. They're giving some stuff away. And James was the shooter in the video looking super handsome and...
I shaved up my beard for it that morning. No big deal.
Look at you, buddy. You were really into it. All right. We're actually going to be doing more video content, more things like that with AR-500 armor, so make sure you guys are actually, you know, looking for that. It's good stuff. Yeah. James is going to be in a lot of them, mostly. I think we're doing a big one next week, aren't we?
Yeah, on the 26th.
26th, yeah. It'll be a party. It will be a party. All right. Let's see. What else? So Valkyrie plate carrier. What have you noticed wearing it, James? Like, it's a plate carrier.
Right, but for a plate carrier, it's actually really comfortable, yeah. And it's not hard to, like, manipulate a weapon around, like, the shoulder pads and everything, so that's really good. The plates in it are light, so it's not,
you were rocking
it's not heavy
the,
at all. I was rocking ceramic plates ceramics. In the video. Those weigh nothing.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
I've got a set of lightweight poly plates.
Yeah.
Those things are insane.
Yeah.
They are amazing. I mean, they're super, super
comfortable. They feel like foam.
Yeah, they feel like foam. The one downside to them is they're so freaking thick.
Yeah.
They're incredibly thick.
Same with the ceramics.
Yeah, the ceramics are pretty thick. So it's like you're like jamming them into the plate carrier. Like it takes a significant amount of effort to get them in. Once they're in, dude, it's like you don't need anything else.
Yeah. No. Feels great, especially like compared to what we wore in Afghanistan. That shit was so heavy.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
stuff weighs nothing. It's amazing what technology has done.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah, God, here right.
We go. Well, let me flex a little bit.
Yeah.
No big deal. I just have an unlimited budget. All right. California school shooting, again. How is it that all these shootings continue to happen in all these gun-free areas?
It's because of the great gun laws.
Yeah, it is, right?
It's semi automatic, too. Like, the most deadly of all.
The most deadly of all of them. It was a handgun.
Yeah.
Fully semi automatic.
It says every headline semi automatic handgun. That I looked at in the last 10 minutes.
So here's the interesting thing about it. The news isn't picking it up and going anywhere with it.
No, because it's a handgun.
It's not one of these...
It doesn't
fine,
fit.
...blessed mm-hmm. firearms on what we have on our table here.
It doesn't fit their narrative, so they don't care.
That's exactly it.
Now, that being said, I did want to share some really cool news from this tragedy. All right? Let me find it real quick. Stand by. You have to wait for me. Okay. Choir teacher tended to high school students' bullet wounds. Pretty cool, actually. Caitlin Holt followed her instincts when five students barged in her classroom saying there was an active shooter on campus in Santa Clarita. One of the students who ran in was a girl with two gunshot wounds. Holt used a gunshot kit in her classroom to tend to the girl.
Oh, wow.
Corralled students in her office and blocked the doors to her classroom. All of this was part of active shooter training the choir teacher had only practiced once since coming to the school in January. Moments before the students ran into her class, a 16-year-old student had walked on campus with a .45 caliber pistol and began shooting. Two students, a 15-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy, were killed and three others were wounded. The shooter then shot himself in the head and was in critical condition before dying on Friday. Let me reread that again because this sounds like a motive. A 16-year-old guy walked onto campus and shot a 15-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy. And then shot himself.
Lover's quarrel.
Gee, that there's no way that's related.
Yeah, right.
Right? The shooter then shot... investigators are digging into the suspect's social media and background in search of a motive. Holt is being praised for her quick response, but she does not consider herself a hero. The true meaning of a hero is you can never say...
You're a hero.
You're a hero.
All right. I don't deserve this.
I feel... Oh, this is a quote. Hold on to your saddles, boys. This is a quote.
Hold on.
I feel like a hero makes a choice. I was just acting.
Sure, she's not in Shakespeare, too? Or
she's the choir teacher. She's got the arts running through her veins.
Some more information in there. Anyways, I think that's awesome, man. I think that it's really cool that she had a kit in her classroom. And listen, schools and school administrators, I don't know how many times we've said this on the show. I don't know how many times I've said it in training. Probably, I don't know, a fucking 1,000, maybe more if you counted. If you're a teacher, get your own med kit and keep it in your classroom. And if you change to multiple classrooms, have one everywhere you go or carry yours with you. Do not pretend that you even realistically believe that someone is coming to save you. No one is coming to save you. Save yourself. Learn how to save yourself. Learn how to save the ones that you care about and those who are placed in your charge. And if you're a teacher or a school administrator and you don't take this seriously, fuck you. Stop listening to our show. You're a piece of shit, and I don't care about you, and I don't want you involved in our community, and I don't want you to think you're part of our tribe, because you're not, man. You're an idiot.
100%.
And I hit the wall at least once a week. I hit my head against the wall of trying to get schools or an administrator to accept training and all that, which, by the way, we do for free. And it still is almost impossible to get into schools. Now, we have tons of individual teachers who have come to us and some individual school administrators who have come to us and taken training and learned everything, all kinds of stuff. And God bless them for doing the right thing and like being willing to take care of themselves. So I'm not talking about the individuals. I'm talking about overall. When we go and talk to a school administrator and I sit down, I have sat in front of so many school administrators in the last 10 years of doing this shit. So many, all over the place, and almost begged them, please let me come to your school and give your people a free class. And then we work with a distributor, the Tactical Medic, that often donates tons of medical supplies whenever he can to schools to keep them safe. It's like we can do this for little to maybe no cost. And they still won't do it.
No takers.
They still won't do it.
The most noble thing you can do is for children, and then they won't even put a few extra hours or a few extra bucks into it. Blows my mind.
Well, we can't get our teachers to come in on a weekend. Well, we can't get our teachers to stay late after school. We can't get them like...
Oh, I bet...
I can't, dude. I can't empathize with that mentality. I don't understand that weakness. I don't get it.
I bet if you put it out and just said, even if it's a volunteer thing only, more teachers would show up than these people would assume. I think they'd be surprised, honestly, by how many teachers actually give a shit.
I think they probably would too, because again, I think within the system there's plenty of individuals who care. I don't know. Like I said, we've had a lot of those people come to our programs, and I know they're going to other people's programs as well. So it's like I know that they're out there training and learning. But this choir teacher is a perfect example of what can happen. She's right. A choir teacher, not a freaking Navy SEAL, you know what I mean? And she's the right place at the right time. Gets some kids into a room, barricades the door, gets them over to the corner. One of them's got a couple gunshot wounds. It doesn't say what the nature of the wounds was or how bad they were or how she rendered aid. It doesn't matter because she had a kit. She utilized it somehow and she rendered aid.
She did something.
And the kid didn't die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? That's the key, is that she did something. The kid did not die.
She did something that was useful instead of just like hiding in a corner or hiding under a desk.
Crow. That was one training.
Good on her for doing
one training. So...
What we've discovered in training is just in dealing with our students. In all the years we've been doing this, we get a lot of feedback from our students on how they apply our skills. We've had some students who've had to no shit shoot people all the way to the ground and stop them. We've had other students who've had to stab people. We have students who've had to defend themselves physically. We have students who've had to use flashlights, mostly, honestly, as we have people you have used flashlights and less lethal way more than they've used guns, right? So that's something to consider. Medicine, that's not even a fair comparison to how many of our students use medicine compared to how many of them shoot guns at people. And when you look at that comparison, dude, a minimal amount of exposure can mean a huge difference in an emergency where you need a certain skill set. Yes, we encourage continued training. Yes, we encourage all that. But it's like even a minimal amount of exposure can help somebody. When I was a pretty new instructor, we had taught a class to a church group, a church youth group that was young ladies. And they had a couple of their leadership women obviously weren't attended the class as well. And several months after, one of the ladies had contacted me and said, "Hey, I'm a dental hygienist, and I was working with a client who was being kind of forward with me and hitting on me, and I said no." And anyway, he came onto her in the back room of this dental office where she was kind of isolated a little bit, and tried to grab her and grope her and stuff like that. And she was able to use a super easy technique that we had showed her and these girls in class. You know, we did some repetitions with it, of course. It was like a really, really easy, basic technique just to get someone's hands off of you. And she was able to get his hands off of her, and then she, you know, slams the door behind her, runs down the hallway, and, you know, yells, and people are able to come out, and they corral the guy, and he gets arrested, and all that kind of stuff. It's like, she had one exposure to that, man. Total repetitions she'd done was maybe a dozen, you know? And we see that a lot where, yes, continued training is beneficial. We all sitting in this room understand that, right? And the more training you have and the higher quality training you have, the more good training you have, I should say, the better you're going to be able to respond. But even a minimal amount of exposure to something can mean the difference. And obviously, this is a perfect example of that. And we just can't seem to get people, especially in the school system, to understand that. It's frustrating.
The first time is important. The way I view it, it's like a neurological pathway isn't open yet until you get that switch turned on. Just this is how you do it, because you only go with prior experience. So if you have none, you have no idea what to do. Once you do it at least once, you have something to fall back on, so you're not just sitting in the corner cowering. That's the way I look at it.
And that was a perfect example of that with this teacher. So good on her for getting involved. I think it's awesome. So, yeah. So there you go. All right. What did we do this last weekend? Precision rifle. 3 days in the blazing hot sun. Why in the hell is it 86 freaking degrees in the middle of November?
Because we live in paradise.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Is that the word for it?
Oh, yeah. I was like, why is it so hot this weekend?
It's so hot.
But great class, a lot of good shooters. Had a couple guys from a federal agency that were out there with us doing some long range work. The full 3 day precision class with their 16 inch carbines, 2.5 to 10 power optics. What they had, man.
They were running it.
They're starting up a new DM program, designated marksman program, for their little area. And they took them out to 700 with regularity.
Mm-hmm.
They were hitting, and our targets, we do not use big targets, you know, at all. I mean, we're using small targets. We're using torso targets that are typically 12 by 20. So 12 wide, 20 tall. We're not talking about big targets that we're using. These guys were smoking these things from field shooting positions. Like, we're talking supported kneeling, you know, and I don't mean supported kneeling, like supported on your body, but like off of packs.
And tripods.
Yeah, but those guys actually didn't. Well, I guess they did shoot
one
from the tripods.
Did, yeah.
Mostly they were shooting from collapsed tripods.
Yeah.
So they were shooting from like sitting tripod, kneeling tripod.
Which is still really difficult.
Which is still difficult enough. Yeah. And these guys were, I mean, banging away at 700. 600, 700, no problem with these guys.
Yeah.
So shooting their little old 223s.
That was really cool to see, too.
223, that's impressive.
It's always impressive to me to watch when people really apply those skill sets. And it's not like they weren't making mistakes or like they were achieving 100% hits. That's not true. But they were doing a phenomenal job in comparison to, you know, what most people think they can do with their carbines.
Yeah.
These guys were getting it, man. It was great. It's great to see. Yeah, it was great. You know, and of course we had, you know, 308s, 6.5s, all the normal stuff. That
338 this time or no? Anyway.
No 3.3 at this time.
Damn.
No. Yeah, it's very unfortunate. We had a... What did we have a 3? Oh, we had a 338 in the intro class. That thing was banging. Yeah, Ben helped me teach the intro to precision rifle class. It was just a 1 day.
Please
yeah.
Don't knock over that steel. I'll know who's running out. It's always me.
Dude, it was like that guy with that 338. It was like we always had to make him shoot last on
really?
Everything. And that's how it is. We've had a handful of 338s come through class over the years. And every time it's like, all right, if you're going to shoot a piece of steel, like you have to make sure everyone else has shot it. Because if you shoot it, it's a possibility it's going to knock over.
Or fall yeah.
Over, you know. So, yeah, he was knocking over steel at, you know, 200-300 yards.
Jesus, that's pretty
those
good.
Those things are heavy.
Yeah, those things are really heavy.
Yeah, and they're just knocking them over, plowing them.
That's crazy. That's
it's
awesome.
Crazy how much energy on target, man.
Yeah.
Bananas. So what's the thing about Iran, Ben? What are you telling me about Iran?
They're just doing some protests, you know, good old revolution maybe. Who knows? Starting off, fuel prices were raised, most likely because of the sanctions the international community, USA, is putting on them. So
yeah. I mean, let's be realistic.
Yeah. I'm trying to be fair, but you know, it's USA all the way, baby. And so, yeah, they started burning down banks. A protester got shot trying to light a fuel facility on fire. Good move. They captured a Revolutionary Guard dude, beat the tar out of him, and then in like retaliation, the Revolutionary Guards are shooting civilians now. So it's pretty rock and roll. It's a motley crew, as we say, in the biz.
Well, in addition to Iran, I mean, you've got Hong Kong losing their minds.
Dude.
France has finally settled down a little, but now you got Hong Kong, thousands of people in the streets protesting.
Did you see how many protesters were there, like, this weekend or last weekend?
Yeah.
A quarter of the population, and there's like 7.5 million people there. That's a significant number of people protesting. That's really awesome.
Yeah. And now they're, like, clashing with police.
Yeah.
They're gluing down the bricks. That's pretty smart.
Gluing down the bricks like in the road. That was a good idea.
Add
I was
that
like,
one to my
woo, guerrilla warfare. Let's add that one to the old bankaroonie.
Yeah.
Call boys. You can learn a lot from them. So.
Well, I mean, what are you gonna do? You know, you can't drive down the road and glue down bricks.
Apparently, like, there's a college there that is like houses like most of their internet connections or something like that. And the police were trying to take it over so they could monitor all the like. Messaging traffic, the communication traffic, and protesters got in between them and the university and like drove these police back with like tear gas and other shit. Like it was pretty incredible to read.
Wait, you're telling me the government wants to spy on them?
Yeah.
I don't believe
that. Get out of here. I'm glad our government doesn't do that.
Yeah.
They're all the free home of the brave. You know what I mean?
I wonder if our assigned FBI agents is laughing right now.
Dude, our assigned FBI agents just love being involved in our life.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably not mine. God damn it. I probably had like 4 of my agents kill themselves.
What has been seen cannot be unseen.
We need another one for the
every time you open your laptop, the camera just boom, there's your butthole every time.
Who even does it like that? I do.
I like to open it by clamping my butt cheeks together and standing up. That's how I open my laptop.
All right, as long as we're on the topic of butts, I have to share this message with all the listeners. The same message I read you yesterday, James.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right, I was wondering. Hopefully it's not one of mine.
No, I can't share anything you send me. All right. Crap, where is it? I'll find it. Give me a second. Oh, okay, here we go. So here is the message I received early Friday morning. Just had a guy come in with a butternut squash stuck up his ass. He tried to get it out with a spoon, a fork, then a knife. Good Couldn't call. Get it out. Now he's bleeding.
Escalation of force, though. He did it right.
A doc asked for some help as we went to remove it. We got half of it out. That half was, listen closely, 3 inches wide. All right? And 3.5 to 4 inches long. The other half got closed up behind the brown gate. We tried everything until the doc goes, I just need one hand to hold open this side, and I'll hold open the other side. So I was voluntold to help. The best karma was while we held it open, the doc asked him to bear down a bit to help it come out. He did and coughed. When he coughed, it shot out and hit the doc square in the chest. We were gowned up with masks, but the visual was still hilarious.
Just I just want to hear the thud that it made right against his sternum, you know?
Just
he just got hit with an ass squash, dude.
Yeah, ass squash.
Oh. Medic!
Oh, yes. Everyone out there who's like, I want to go into the medical field. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's what you get to look forward to.
Butternut squash in people's buttholes. That's what mostly, like, so that person who sent me that message sends me a lot of messages like that.
I can imagine
just
who it is.
Horrible, horrible things that people have put in their butts, things people have done to themselves on accident, on purpose. Oh, my gosh.
Just remember, if you're thinking about going to the military to be a medic, you're going to get a lot of, doc, does this look normal while you're eating lunch? And then you're going to have a dick and balls in your
face. You're
face,
just
so.
Eating. Docs look normal. Turnover.
Yeah, you'll never bam. Be able to complete a workout because halfway through, like, can the medic look at this? Like,
damn
it. Yeah. Middle of my superset.
That's when you just go, whoa, no, I'm security forces.
Like, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Air Force security forces. SF, really. Yeah.
SF, basically. We like the shortest to say FF, SF. That was an Army SF.
What was Air the Force one?
Air Force SF.
Marines are notorious for using CLP.
Yeah.
As lube. Yeah. This chemical burns every time.
Yep.
Don't do that. No seal people.
External lube. Use only, folks. External
use. Not even that.
Not for yourself either.
Yeah.
That's external use, weapon based. Oh my gosh. Red wire gear moment. John is not here, so I'm going to go with it. And it's this. Remember that there's a lot of pieces of equipment that come out that are endorsed by various people. Maybe those people have certain backgrounds or whatever. But none of that really matters. Be very wary of what you're buying. Make sure that you pay attention to how it was made, where it was made, the purpose of the piece of equipment, and whether or not that purpose is going to fit your needs. Doesn't matter who endorsed it. It doesn't matter who made it. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. It doesn't matter what cool multicam colors it comes in or anything like that. What matters is, does it fit whatever need you're trying to fulfill? We see we have a lot of students who end up just buying a lot of stuff, and then they end up with a bunch, you know, three pieces of gear to try to fit one need because they just can't seem to find the right thing because they're too excitedly buying the next deal. Same thing when it comes to training. And we have students who want to run out. Like, we've got our field carving class coming up this next weekend. And people, I get messages constantly before classes like this. Hey, should I buy this? Should I buy that? Should I buy this? I'm like, you shouldn't buy anything until you come to the training and find out if you actually need it. Then if you need it, then you can buy it and you can practice with it.
Yeah.
But borrow what we have, borrow what other people have, figure out whatever. You know, I mean, don't show up without necessary gear, obviously. But if it's not absolutely necessary, wait. Yeah. Wait to see all the options out there. Wait to see what the, you know, what the effects are. So,
yeah, definitely bring your carbine.
bring the carbine stuff, right? All right, so Red Wire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. Also on our Instagram page right now, we are doing a Q&A, our Instagram story. We're doing a Q&A for optics. So we've already got a bunch of questions I have to answer after the show here, but there's more. So make sure that if you're interested in dropping questions, you jump on there and participate. Because we're having a good time with that stuff. All right. Our topic for today is how to set up your truck gun. Right? What is a truck gun? Or trunk gun?
Yeah, as, for the people with the mom cars.
As you guys with your freaking mom cars, okay?
Hey, hey, hey.
So a trunk gun, all right, or truck gun. Why are they and do you actually need them? So the first thing we did was we brought in our truck or trunk guns. All right. So, James, what do you got?
I have a Sig Sauer MPX.
MPX with a sweet custom paint job on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, I definitely sprayed it.
James' artistic capability right there.
Are you using netting for that?
Oh, yeah.
I love the netting.
Classic mesh laundry bag action going
on. That's
hot.
Right.
Yeah. So hot right now?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mesh bags are so hot.
Yeah.
Now, that's got the folding folding stock.
Yes,
or,
sir.
I'm sorry, folding brace.
Yeah, folding brace.
That's a folding brace with a 4.5-inch barrel.
Yeah.
So when you fold that thing up, it could literally fit easily in a backpack.
Oh, very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with, even with a 30-round magazine.
Yeah.
So why 9mm as your trunk gun?
You know what? I got a lot of 9mm. It's small. I really like that gun because it's really fun to shoot. Mm, so I figure why not have something small and compact that I can just fold up and stick in my trunk or in a backpack and let it ride.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right. And you got the sweet little red dot on it. We were out shooting this thing the other day. It's tits, man.
It's really fun to shoot.
Yeah, it's perfect. So, of course, love this brace.
Yeah.
Brace.
Appropriately brace it.
Brace it.
Onto my body. All right. All right, so pretty cool little setup there. All right, I like it. Where do you typically try to... You actually keep that thing in your trunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the trunk.
In the trunk, yeah.
So right during the boog, you're gonna... Being a big igloo. Igloo, as everyone's calling it now.
Honestly, like,
yeah.
Damn.
I think more of like the, you remember that cop that got shot on the 101 and that guy had to pull over and help him out?
Yeah, yeah.
That's more along the lines of what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. All right. And Ben, you brought yours.
Yep.
Shorty little AR pistol setup. Yep. Again, a brace, not brace. A stock. Brace.
Brace. Yeah, just, you know, 300 blackout for bigger boys.
300 black suppressed. Looking sexy. You got yourself a nice little light on there. Is that the TLR 7?
Yep.
Nice. That's a good setup.
Fits perfectly with my super short iron sights, you know?
Heck yeah.
Full deal with my SLR rail. Those are my favorite rails still. Can't get away from them. But yeah, it's nice. Not always in my trunk because when I'm near base, I don't like having it if I leave my car for very long because if it's a it's in your trunk, it's probably going to get stolen at some point, especially if you have, like, stickers like Mullen Labia and stuff on it.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Don't put stickers on your car.
That's nope.
Bad big idea. No-no. But it fits nicely in a secret compartment in my car that I won't say because I don't want you guys stealing my shit. Here's some med accessories. But, yeah, it fits there nicely. I don't expect, like, it's not within reach, so I'm not going to, like, as I'm road raging, grab it and then point it at the dude next to me. That's what the Glock's for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly it's shorter and easier to drive with one hand.
That's what the handguns are for.
Yeah. Well, like, but this is more like, yeah, I don't know, if worst came to worst, more along the lines of your situation. Will I ever use it? Probably not.
Yeah.
But does it make my dick hard? The answer's yes. Always.
Well, here's what I like about all three of the guns we have out here are all technically pistols.
Yeah.
Right? They're all pistols with, you guys have braces, I don't have a brace on mine. So my truck gun is actually my pistol, right? Because that's what I have with me all the time. But if I was gonna grab a gun to be like, I need to put this shit in my truck because some shit might happen, it would actually be this. Now this is actually Drew, so she's gonna be like, why you have my gun? Yes, I do. So this is the a sweet little freaking Pat pistol, right? Nice little AK action. I would go with 7.62x39 because 30 cal, like a 300 blackout, 30 cal and vehicles and energy transfer is just insane, right? Especially at close range. So I went with this little guy if I was going to grab something and just throw it in the truck. Maybe even throw the freaking 75-round drum on there.
You know, never know.
But this is nice and flat. That's why I grabbed the 30-rounder for today, because it's a nice, slim profile. That 75-round drum is big. It's bulky, you know. But, like, 30 rounds, probably do a lot of work with that. And I like this idea of just a mean freaking 30-cal gun, short, compact, right? In this case, I can actually drive with one hand.
And road rage.
Right, and road rage, right? So it's very useful for that, right? But yeah, so it's a pretty cool little setup. If you guys ever shot those things, they're tons of fun. Really easy to manage the recoil. Yeah, a lot of good times. So there you go. So there's our fun little setups. All right, from our trunk or truck gun perspectives. Now that we talked about that, the reality, like Ben said, is are we actually going to use truck guns or trunk guns?
No, probably not. Worst case I can see is I keep my body armor with it. If I carry this, I carry 90 rounds. Body armor med kit, so like responding to something be the biggest one, like a shooting of some sort.
Yeah,
but even then I don't want to get shot by the cops, so I'm not just gonna roll in there, you know. But who knows?
Yeah, what? that's the biggest thing. I don't want to get smoked by a cop.
See a guy running around with body armor,
right?
A body armored rifle. Yeah, you don't want to be the shooter at the active shooter situation.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, which is why handguns are so nice to me, because you can secret those things away and make them disappear. They come out, they go away pretty quickly. My idea on truck guns, I do not leave a gun in my truck or my vehicle ever. I do not leave it there overnight. I don't like even leaving a gun in my vehicle if I have to go to the store. Like, when we're doing training and shit, and I've got guns in my truck, it just, oh man, I'm just mildly paranoid about the whole thing, because I just hate the idea of someone getting into my vehicle and grabbing, you know, a gun. And then going out and using it. You know, first of all, yeah, it sucks. You got to replace it, right? And it's everything we have here. Even stuff here is freaking expensive, and we don't want to replace any shit. But the biggest downside to me is, like, I don't want shitheads getting access. So you see a lot of convenient, nifty ways that people mount guns into their vehicles. I saw one the other day that actually I would legitimately do if I had this kind of vehicle. It was in an older pickup, and a single cab. And you remember the seats would fold forward, and you could, like, store, you know, people would put, like, their coats and their jumper cables and stuff behind the seat in a single cab pickup, right? Well, this thing folded forward and had a cutout in the back of the seat, and actually had a lever gun in it. And I was thinking, like, man, if I was a rancher or something like that, that would be perfect. Then, of course, my head gets thinking, like, oh, man, AR-15. It was actually a buddy of mine, Ryan, sent it, posted it up or whatever, and I'd seen it. And I was like, dude, that's freaking awesome, man. So then we were both like, dude, AR-15, like, we should totally build that with an AR-15. And I think that would be really cool. It'd be really cool to access that, you know? But I'm like, man, I would never leave it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm paranoid.
You know?
Even at my own house, I'm like, man, the garage door goes open and I'm not paying attention or whatever. Like, it's not locked. I mean, if it is, this is window breaking. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, at least my safe has, like, a camera and stuff on it.
Mm-hmm.
Car doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing. I'm like, dude, my safe area, camera. It's a battery operated camera, so you can cut the power. Doesn't matter. You're still getting on camera, motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just like it's as much as I can possibly secure it. You know. But that being said, I don't like to keep it in the truck. I don't think they're very realistic. Now, with that in mind, you got to think of it like this. There's, I think, going to come a time where they're going to be more realistic.
I do. I agree.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think there's some places I go, like, I will carry a truck gun. I typically carry my SBR. It's suppressed and whatever. If I'm going to cross state lines, I just take the SBR lower off and put a pistol lower on because then it's easier to transfer across state lines. But I do carry that. I've got it collapsed down in this little case. It doesn't look like a gun case at all. And I'll carry that around with me, you know, if I'm going to travel a lot, if I'm going to be on the road. Because my thought there is, if I do get separated from the people that I care about because of some natural disaster or some big national event or civil unrest or anything like that, then I need to have the opportunity to access this freaking thing. Yeah. You know, if I got to get back to them, I'm going to get back to them however I need to. And if that means I got to sling up and throw down, then I'll do that too. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on it? I mean, obviously you care. You got to have some kind of fantasy.
Well, yeah, that's like the biggest one. Everyone wants to be the one-man national asset, you know, running in.
Jason Bourne
that shit. Smoking stuff. But I think what you carry in your trunk is should be more than just a weapon. Like, more realistic stuff, like a sleeping bag. Like, and if you list, like, from Northwest where I'm from, mm-hmm. get stuck all the time. You don't have a sleeping bag. Your car runs out of gas. You're going to freeze to death, man. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So get a nice sleeping bag. I put that back there. Water. Food's kind of hard to keep in Arizona just because it's so hot and ruins, like, MREs and stuff. Yeah. But basic meds like boo-boo kits besides a trauma kit because, yeah, it's great to have a trauma kit until you're like, man, I don't need a trauma kit. I just want, like, some Neosporin.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Basic supplies.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, like, I like my body armor, because if I'm going to be bringing this guy out, probably want some body armor and, like, at least three extra mags.
Which is actually something that we have discussed a lot in recent classes. People have asked us about body armor and, like, its application in personal defense. And whether that's home defense, vehicle defense, whatever it may be, I think of it like this. If I have time to deploy a long gun, I have time to put armor on.
Literally for just sure. This and snap.
Drop it off. Or drop it on, you know, you should always have one side already attached. So it's like arm through, head through, bring your other side around, cummerbund, clip, whatever it is you got. And then, so if I'm deploying a rifle or one of these pistols, I have time to put freaking armor on. So I agree. In my truck, I keep armor anyways. It's low pro, kind of concealable armor so that I can always use it just in case. That way I can throw a jacket over it and just make that shit disappear.
And like if you... is going on for car stuff, like dash cams, like $30 on Amazon. Does it send all your information in Chinese? Probably, but it's also a great dash cam. So, like, I've used that thing, not for me, but for, like, witnessing accidents. There's some guy, actually a fedora and a trench coat, hit this lady running a red, and there's like, I didn't hit her. And I was like, dude, I got it on my camera, like, right here. So, like, that thing's the most useful thing. Because people will lie to you immediately to not pay for a simple fender bender.
Mm-hmm.
That's more useful than a truck gun because I can't bring this out when I get in a fender bender and be like, tell the truth, motherfucker.
I mean, you could, but you could. There are consequences to some actions, you know?
But that's a really, I mean, you bring up a point that we always talk about in training and on the show, which is what other shit, okay, if we're going to talk about a trunk gun or a truck gun, what else do you keep in there?
I mean, I have like a survival blanket, sleeping bag, whatever it is.
Water, med kits.
Water. Jumper cables, small tools. Amount of tools, yeah.
Basic toolkit.
Yeah.
I mean, my truck is
med kit.
Big enough, I got enough space. You might not be able to do this on the car, but I've got an onboard air compressor.
Yeah, I don't
think. Dude, I've used my onboard air compressor. If I used it once, it would be using it more than my truck gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've used it probably a dozen times.
Yeah.
I've filled up freaking soccer balls with it, and I've aired up my tires with it, and I've aired up other people's tires with it.
Yeah.
Like, that is an incredibly useful freaking thing to have. You know? So, when I think about truck survival shit, a lot of people go straight to, yeah, man, I carry rifles in case of this or that, or like some, you know, some shit kicks off, boy, I'm going to be ready. And I'm like, dude, if some shit kicks off, you're not going to be ready.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is that kicks off, trust me, you're not ready for this shit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Nobody is.
Yeah. Assuming that you survive whatever the initial 14 to 30 days is, you're going to find a whole new freaking meaning to the word adaptation.
Yeah.
You know?
And they say the first 3 days of anything that could happen like that is going to be the hardest three days of anybody's life.
Oh, yeah. Because food, water, electricity, all that shit, yeah. Is there or not. We don't know.
Everybody's going to be scrambling to get it. Yeah. Somebody's defending it. Somebody's trying to take it.
So I look in my truck and think, like, what else, you know, what else do I have? Tools, med stuff, extra parts that are possible, weather gear, like Ben mentioned. I was just telling James yesterday, we were carrying some steel targets for a class, and I pulled out an extra pair of gloves. He'd forgotten his, so I pulled out an extra pair of gloves so we could carry these steel targets. And I was like, dude, I legit carry a full change of clothes in my truck.
Yep.
You know how many times I've used that? More than I've used my truck gun.
Shocking.
Right. I have used a full change of clothes. Sometimes you're just gross after training or a day in the freaking nasty-ass Arizona summer or whatever. You just want to change some nice clothes, put on a new T-shirt, put on a fresh pair of freaking socks or something like that. It's nice to have that. I've used that way more times than I ever used my truck gun.
Yeah.
You know, flashlights, power sources, backup battery packs for jumping your own freaking vehicle, you know, if it goes dead or whatever. Lights, emergency markers, flares, chem lights, strobes, all that shit. I just got a basic MS-2000. Yeah, our crash axes, right? This is the old school one here. But still good. The crash axes, I just keep this thing underneath my driver's seat.
Yeah, mine's right there, right next to me.
It's like I can access this from a seated position. I can also just open the door, slide it out, boom, there's my crash axe. If I need quick access to a vehicle, you know, I don't have to, well, where's my window breaker? I got it right here, you know what I mean? Like, I got my window breaker, you know? I don't need to be looking for a little boop, boop, carbide punch. Now, I'm going to use that if I'm inside the vehicle, within my reach. You know, I keep one on my med kit, I keep one in my glove box, and I keep one in my console. Like, I'm paranoid about being trapped in a car, dude. There's some things, like, I look at and I go, I'm not going to fucking die that way.
It's almost like you've been in a car accident.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I think the guy who's been in a vehicle accident, let me tell you what, dude, being trapped in a car ain't no fucking fun. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm never going to, I don't want to die that way. I don't want to die trapped in a car. I've come too far, I've survived too much to die trapped in a freaking vehicle. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I'm getting out of this thing. So I keep that kind of stuff available. But when you're breaking someone else's, you know, trying to do a break and rake on someone else's vehicle or something to help them out, that's more important, man. Which I legit had to do, actually, for a lady. I was up in Prescott Valley coming out of the Sam's Club. And just freaking getting some gas at the Sam's Club, you know. And there was this car. It was middle of the summer. There was this car pulled off kind of away from the parking lot. There's this odd exit that goes down into this little living community. And this is a car just oddly parked, you know. So I just kind of slow roll past it. And there's this person totally freaking zonked out in the driver's seat, you know. And this is an older lady. And I'm like, man, this is... like, that's just not normal, right? That's just not normal shit. So I'm like, all right, I'll pull over, you know. So I pull over, which is like always the thought that goes to our head, right? Like, how inconvenient this is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm that person, so I like have to do something, but I really don't actually want to do this. But I get out and I go and I freaking knock on the window, you know, vehicle's running and I'm trying to wake her up and she's not waking up. And I'm like, well, shit, man. Like, I don't know, is there bad air in there? I have no fucking clue what the deal's going on. So
heroin.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, drugs. Opiates.
So I call the you know, I call the fire and I'm like, hey man, I'm gonna break her window and just get the door open and see what's going on, you know. So it's pretty easy when you've got the carbide tips because you just shatter a window and you can pull them out. Usually they don't shatter into 1,000 pieces, you know, modern tempered glass and whatever just shatters. So you shatter a couple corners, have my gloves on, and just put my fingers in the hole and pull the glass out, you know, and she's unconscious. I mean, she's breathing and unconscious. And about the time I kind of finished an assessment, fire was there. It took them probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes to get there. We were relatively close to a fire station. But, you know, if she would have been dying for realsies, it wouldn't have been fast enough. But we were close enough. They got there and they rolled in and did their business. I left because that's what you do when you're, you know, bystander.
Don't worry about it.
You just go, okay, boys.
I'm out. Enjoy. Looks like y'all got it from here.
I'm going to go eat my Chick-fil-A now. But, yeah, I mean, that was like there's legitimate applications for carrying those kinds of tools. Again, that's the only time I've ever had to break someone's window as a, like, civilian bystander. But that's still more times than I've used my truck gun. You know what I mean? Now, in fairness, I actually have used my truck gun to shoot coyotes with. I have used it for that, right? But to actually, if for its designated purpose of slaying bodies, 0 times.
Zero.
And it would be hard to even think of an application for me where I would like legit deploy a truck gun, where I would want to have a long gun. Like, that's why I kind of like the idea of this AK pistol, right? Like, it's small enough, or James's little deal. Like, that thing's freaking tiny, man. And I was thinking, actually, I'll tell you when I started thinking about AK pistols inside of cars. Do you guys remember when those crazy flash mobs were happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember what was spurring them on, but they were very ethnically based, and there was a lot of them. They were like flash mobbing gas station convenience stores and just wrecking the place and stealing everything and beating people up. And there was one that happened at some event. I don't remember what it was. And there was a husband and wife and their two kids in like a minivan style, you know, hatchback crossover type of thing. And they're trying to get out of the situation, and they're completely surrounded by people who are upset at whatever. They end up breaking the window. They pull the dad out, beat him up pretty good. And they try to pull the mom out. She ends up being able to retreat farther back into the vehicle. But they cut her up pretty bad, and they beat the dad up pretty bad. And I had a buddy at the time who he literally went out the next day after he heard that story and bought an AK pistol. And it was just like set up just like this. It was an MPAP. And it's got this god-awful muzzle device on it. It just throws fire and loud as shit. And he's just like, I want this and 30 rounds of the nastiest ammo I can find. And he's like, literally, if something like that happens, I'm just turning towards the freaking window. You know, he's got some vehicle. He understood some vehicle shooting techniques. He's like, I'm getting my body running toward the window. He's like, I am just going to start blasting through my freaking driver's side window. He's like, everyone in the car is going to be deaf. Everyone outside the car is going to be deaf. He's like, but when people see a flamethrower getting launched from inside this car, just boom, 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 it's like, who's still going to come up to the vehicle? And I think that's a reasonable thing to consider, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why when I was like, dude, if I ever truck gun it, it's going to be a freaking AK pistol. Just 30 cal, 30 rounds, nasty freaking muzzle device, just throwing flames out the side of the vehicle and just hitting people indiscriminately. I'm not even talking about aim fire. Just point towards the window and just... Because everyone there is complicit, right?
Yeah.
It's like everyone there is there. Everyone there is a piece of shit. So just aim towards the window and start freaking launching rounds.
Yeah.
The more people you wound, the better. Because that's just going to keep people away from your vehicle. Now, legally, what I'm describing is a nightmare, okay? This is a nightmare for you.
I'm sure you could articulate that if a mob is literally surrounded your vehicle trying to rip you out of it.
It's all about the kids for me.
Yeah. Your kids are there. If they're trying to rip you out of it in front of your kids, like, what are they going to do to your kids once you're gone? Yeah, fuck that. I'm shooting.
And so that's something I've always thought about from a handgun perspective. I've often thought about keeping, like, I keep a couple extra pistol mags in my truck just for handy purposes. But I've often thought about, like, taking a freaking 30-round happy stick for my Glock and just sticking it in my side door and being like, dude, if I got a reload from inside the car, I'm just pulling out the 30 rounds. And again, you just unload on something.
Definitely have that.
You know?
You know, just when in doubt, just grab the 30 rounds.
Yeah, dude. Slam that bitch in there. 32 rounds. You know what I mean? The happy sticks and Glocks are 32 freaking rounds.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a hell of a reload.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Plus 17. I mean, shit, you're rocking 50 rounds. Like, when you think about the reasonable person application of things, we're not dealing with hardened criminals typically, right? When you think about the reasonable person application, like, you pull out a freaking AK pistol, that little MPX, you know, folded stock, and you just start wreck, just freaking ripping rounds through the windshield, ripping rounds through your side window, whatever it is, you know what I mean?
I can do that with this.
Dude, 100%. You know? So we're talking about carrying these things not even accessible, but I can carry mine accessible. Because of the size of my truck, I can actually take this AK pistol and I can wedge it between the console and my driver's seat. Now, in a high-speed vehicle collision, that thing would become a projectile more than likely, so I'd probably get knocked out by this fucking thing. But it's a pretty badass way to think about deploying, you know, this piece of equipment. And again, this is like kind of wet dream fantasy land tactical shit, but understand that, like, that was a real situation that happened to those people. And if that dad had, I don't know, a P380 Kel-Tec with 6 or 7 rounds of 380 in it and turned towards the freaking window when someone was trying to break it open and just dropped a couple of dudes...
Oh, he would.
I can almost guarantee you that they probably would have made it out of there safely.
Oh, for sure.
You know? Now, put a freaking AK pistol in his hand. Just flamethrowers blowing glass out all over the place. Dude, there would be nobody standing in the immediate vicinity of that who would think to themselves, we should keep fucking with this guy.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
God, what a good feeling that would have been for him, too.
And it's totally different, like...
Instead of the shit beat out of him.
If you're, yeah, if you're right? dealing with, like, vehicle takedown shit, right? We've all had that kind of training experience. So it's like, if you're dealing with taking down a vehicle, okay, there's going to be armed occupants. So you're coming up to the vehicle from a standoff distance. You're coming up to the vehicle, like, anticipating armed resistance. But there's probably more than one of you. You've probably got multiple angles covered. You might have freaking Overwatch. Maybe you got a Belty Boy somewhere freaking standing by just in case shit gets bananas. Everyone just creates another 5 meters of distance and we just engage.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there's all kinds of fun shit like that, right? But we're not talking about those situations. And so, again, I think sometimes people in their heads imagine, especially based on previous or prior experience, they kind of imagine shit that's not realistic when, in my mind, honestly, deploying that freaking AK pistol from inside the vehicle to defend me and my family is probably a lot more realistic of a situation than having to get out, get it out of the trunk, and, you know, drop my armor on and deploy it against, I don't know, what, zombies or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, we live in Arizona, too, where you can actually just put your weapon wherever you want in your vehicle, which is nice. Can't do that back in Washington.
I do love this state.
Yeah.
These gun laws are great.
I just think I'll bring my war rifle, just put it in there, I buckle it in. Now I'm in the carpool lane.
Yeah, right? I consider this my baby.
So here's some listener feedback. Pro tip. Keep your eyes open for STI, Noveski, and the more higher-end gun company stickers. Why smash a Springfield Armory back window for an XDS when you can grab a Gucci 2011 from that four-door Wrangler on rims?
It's true.
It is.
How to attack someone when you're blind, deaf, and on fire? Exactly. That's what
basically
I'm saying.
My Friday night.
Right? When you're just whoom, 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 just whamming freaking rounds. Yeah, I'm going to be deaf. Everyone in the car is going to be deaf. Firing any gun from inside a vehicle is insanely loud. It's a very compressed space.
Well, I mean, not with this one, I won't be deaf.
Well, maybe not as much. Yeah, not as much.
Take that can off. That, you can be. That thing is fucking loud as shit.
Oh, a recommendation. SP5K. Yes, yes. Like the MP5s. Yes, for sure. SP5Ks. I don't know. Honestly, I've spent a lot of time with subguns in my life. I just had the professional and personal experience to be around subguns a lot. And Uzis, MP5s, P90s, MPXs, all full autos. I've shot all of them full autos, and a number of other MP7s. I don't even know how many variations of MP5s I've shot, and then a number of others, right? And if I had to pick just one sub gun, like if I was going to pick one 9mm sub gun, it would be the Uzi.
Really?
I think the Uzi is incredibly durable. I don't love that it fires from an open bolt, right? Because I don't like the idea of rolling around with an open bolt. But I think the system itself is just bomb-proof, man. I mean, it's just, it runs at a really nice cyclic rate, so it's super easy to control. Like, I have no problems controlling an Uzi. I fire an Uzi one-handed. I love controlling the Uzi. Not that the other guns aren't controllable. All of them are controllable. Now, like, I love an MP7. I think an MP7 is pretty cool. I'm not a huge fan of the projectile. You know, I don't think it's great for anti-personnel, you know? I mean, I'm sure it works. It works just fine in Call of Duty, so, you know.
Yeah,
it's my only reference of shooting a person with an MP7. But, like, MP5s, all those Uzis, MPXs, everything. But if I was going to pick, like, just one that fired 9mm, I would go with the Uzi. If I had to pick one sub gun overall, P90.
Really?
Holy.
Those things are so comfy.
Shit. So comfortable to shoot, fully ambidextrous, no recoil, zero recoil. Easy to shoot one-handed because all the weight's towards your shoulder. Easy to shoot two-handed, even more so. Super compact, easy to hide, and 50 freaking rounds.
You make a good case.
Again, not a great cartridge, right?
We got 50, so.
Like the 5.7 Maggie, but I got 50 of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's the big benefit.
You get twice as much as everyone else, so.
And they're just a badass little gun, man.
If only they had a brace for it, so we.
Yeah, if we could figure out some way to brace the PS90, we could cut down to normal length and then have Boy, how would they turn that stock into a brace?
They'd just have to split the back
of it. Yeah, they'd split the back. You like slide your arm through the whole stock and grab the...
That's how they would have to do it.
Oh my gosh. The P90 is a badass gun. If you haven't shot one and you ever have the chance, even if you have a chance to shoot a semi-auto PS90, that's still cool. Really weird because it's got this long-ass barrel on it, but...
Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
You ever have the chance to really rock the P90? And by the way, if you don't have the chance and you would like to have the chance, you can contact us for some of our machine gun shooting stuff. A lot of various guns. You might want to shoot some of them.
I might.
Heads up. Right?
Full on
from belt feds all the way down to subguns. A lot of different stuff. Not a lot of people know that about us, that we do like machine gun type. We don't like to call them experiences. We still call it training. We do training on that. We're not training someone how to deploy a belt fed in a, you know, military environment. We are training someone how to shoot a machine gun. Like, we don't do experience shit. We never have, but we have been involved in that type of stuff since the beginning, you know. But we never are like, yeah, now here's this gun, let me load it for you. We're like, no, you fucking load the shit yourself. Let me teach you how this system works. Here's the difference between a PKM and a 240 Bravo. You know, here's the big difference between, you know, these two saws. Here's the big difference between an RPD and a saw, you know. And then they get to shoot all of them, learn how to load them all, you know. And we still are educating people all the time. Marksmanship is still important to us. We don't let people get away with just bullet hosing and stuff. But not a lot of people know we actually do that, but we do. Yeah. Do it. We've done it for corporate events, all kinds of stuff. But what most people find when they do that shit is, hey, this is a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Very expensive also.
Smoking things with automatic weapons is tons of fun.
Have you truly lived until you've fired an automatic weapon?
I don't believe so.
I don't think you've actually lived. Yeah. I think people who haven't done it are scared to do it because they're afraid they're going to like it. It's why when you invite like a liberal to come out and shoot with you, I honestly think like if they say no, the reason they say no is because they're scared they're gonna like it.
You know what? I got a family member that's never shot a gun before in his life, hates guns. He's never experienced it, but he's actually willing to come shoot with me. It's really it's kind of surprising. So yeah. I'm gonna take him shooting over the holiday season. We're gonna see how that goes.
No kidding.
I bet you. He's gonna like it.
It's one of two ways. Like they either love it or they cry.
Well,
I've never had anyone cry.
No, that's right. This is on the online videos.
Oh, the online. Oh. Oh my god. That guy's shooting. He's like.
You're shooting suppressed without iPro, idiot. That's why you're crying.
It gave me PTSD.
Oh my gosh. I love that freaking. Didn't they have some light colonel on there or something like that who's like some retired dude?
Yeah, and he was teaching him like. All the wrong terminology.
Yeah, I'm Lieutenant Colonel, whatever, and I carried one of these weapons of war. I'm like, first of all, let me stop you right there, boss.
Yeah.
All right?
Stop talking. Yeah. I carried one of these weapons of war.
Weapons of war. An AR-15 M16 M4 is not a weapon of war. Now, 105, that's a weapon of war.
Yeah.
Spooky, that's a weapon of war.
A fucking Sherman tank?
Yeah.
Weapon of war.
An Apache?
Yeah.
An A-10? Those are weapons of war.
Like anybody that says uses their military background to like flex their weapon like knowledge on you is just the worst person in the world because they often don't know what the hell they're doing.
Man. Like I was telling him yesterday, I was in 9.5 years. You want to know how many times I shot a Beretta in 9.5 years? One time they told me to go qualify and I didn't even qualify on it and they were like, "All right, good enough."
Thanks for shooting this, Doc, and Don't shoot anybody.
Don't ever grab a handgun again.
Pick it up. Yeah. Try not to shoot anyone. Thanks. Well, yeah, it's anybody who leans on that, it's kind of laughable. Even from a special operations background, right? You know these freaking special operations guys we've trained with and trained that we teach them what I would consider to be simple shit, and they're like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Holy cow. You know, and you're like, you didn't know this for real? You know, like, you know, don't like jerk me off, man. You really didn't know this? Like, I had no idea. You know, like, oh my God. How many deployments? Like, I have like 5 deployments. You're like, how did you survive? Shit. How did you survive? You didn't have to shoot anybody, I guess. You
know what I mean? Nobody shot at you.
Or God dang, yeah. But it's really simple stuff. I mean, and sometimes it's like dumb simple stuff that we take for granted knowing because we're very vested in the, you know, in the community. In the industry, and we train all the time. We understand that concept. So, I don't know. What else is there to say about truck guns?
Man, I think we covered it.
If you're going to have a truck gun, you need a magazine that's not going to get snagged on shit. So, a 20 rounder may be better than a 30 rounder. You need depending on the application of the gun, optics, lights, just like a normal gun. You know, if you guys are going to carry me in your actual trunks, then yes. If I'm deploying from a trunk, my application is very different than if I'm deploying from inside the vehicle. And for me and this AK pistol, I'm thinking deploying inside the vehicle or from within the vehicle. If I have to leave the vehicle, that's fine, but deploying from inside the vehicle. You guys are thinking after the... So if I'm getting out of my vehicle and getting kitted up and getting ready to roll out, now I want basically a gun that is lights, optics, you know, the whole rigmarole.
A full fighting carbine, essentially.
But
I want a fighting carbine, yeah.
I can reach back and open my back seat and grab it. I don't have to get out of the car.
So. Yeah, you can, because you have those fucking crazy long arms.
These, yeah, gorilla arms.
Yeah. I ain't reaching back there.
I'm going to politely pull over, use my turn signal, get out, check to see if it's safe. Don't want to get hit by the car. Then I'll go out and get my shit.
That's why I like the idea of this little guy.
Yeah.
This little guy.
That's really cool.
You got to shoot him sometime, man. You haven't shot it. They're freaking... They're a hoot.
I haven't. I've shot an AK before, but not an AK pistol like that.
Oh, dude, they're so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're insane. All right. So let's see. What do we got going on here? Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. You can get hosting information for our classes. info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you check out the other shows on the network. There's all kinds of cool shows on there. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to get the most from your training time. So actually something that we deal with a lot with students leaving classes is like, okay, I've left here. Now what do I do? Especially if they have an indoor range or they have to shoot at a public range. Not everyone has access to the facilities that we have access to train a class. And now you have to go and you have to figure out, okay, how do I apply those skills in this environment? So we're going to talk about that next week. Until then, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.